Chapter 5. Lexi couldn't wait to tell Nans what Jack had found out about the McMurdy will the next day. Not to mention that Jack had practically given them the green light to investigate. She suffered through the morning rush at the Cup and Cake, handing out donuts and her famous cupcake tops. She even made a batch of chocolate scones, which were a big hit with the morning crowd. Apparently, Helen wasn't the only one with a hankering for chocolate scones. When her assistant Cassie arrived to relieve her, Lexi eagerly hung up her vintage cherry pattern apron, shoved some chocolate and cranberry orange scones into a white bakery box, and ran out the door. Nans and the others were already seated around the dining room table in Nans' apartment, their iPads out in front of them, and the scones from the day before in the center of the table. Lexi noticed the pastry server was half empty. The ladies had been busy. They didn't waste time on formalities either. As soon as Nans opened the door, she pulled Lexi into the apartment and shoved her into a chair. Ida relieved her of the bakery box, lifting the lid an inch to peek inside, then nodding her approval before transferring the scones to the serving tray. "Chocolate," Helen squealed as she helped herself. "Coffee?" Nans asked Lexi. "Please." The bup-bup-bup of the old-fashioned percolator in the kitchen and the enticing aroma of the earthy blend of Nans' coffee had Lexi's palms itching to curl around a steaming mug. Ida leaned across the table toward Lexi. "Okay, enough of the small talk. Spill it. What did you get out of Jack last night?" The others snickered around mouthfuls of scones. "Did he get any calls about the case?" Nan slid a mug in front of Lexi, then pointed to her living room. "As you can see, we don't have much to go on." Lexi leaned over to look into the living room. They'd pulled the 6-foot-long whiteboard out from the spare room and had already made lines to divide it into sections with headings such as suspects, motive, and clues. Unfortunately, the whiteboard was mostly blank. Apparently, they hadn't made much headway. "I'm not convinced he actually believed us." Ruth broke off part of a ham and cheese scone and put it on the dainty china dessert plate in front of her. "Did anyone find my drone and turn it in?" Ida asked. "Sorry, Ida, no one found the drone. And Jack did believe us, but no calls came in about Olive Pendleton, so there's nothing for him to investigate." Lexi paused, relishing the fact that she had more information than Nans and the ladies did. It was rare that she knew something they didn't. "I did manage to get a little tidbit of information out of him, though." She took a sip of coffee, knowing the ladies were probably wetting their pants in anticipation. They watched her patiently with tilted heads and inquisitive faces.
"Well, out with it, Lexi," Nans demanded finally.
"Yeah, we don't have all day," Ida said impatiently. Then added,
"This cranberry orange is much better. New recipe?"
"I tweaked it to add more orange zest."
"It's perfect."
"Can we get a move on? There's a murderer on the loose, in case you guys have forgotten," Helen said. "What did Jack tell you?"
Lexi chose an apple cinnamon scone from the tray and picked away at it while she told the ladies about Olive Pendleton's parents' will and her literary trust.
"That gives him a perfect motive to pretend she's still alive," Ruth said.
"Right. While she's alive, he can collect the royalties. If she's dead, he gets nothing," Nans agreed.
"But why kill her? Unless he didn't want her around for some reason," Helen said.
"Which means he must be having an affair."
Ida's voice rose with excitement. Nans jumped up and went to the whiteboard, filling in the new information under the motive category. She turned to them with her brows tugged together.
"There's just one thing," If Olive has money, then why don't they take care of the house better?
Plenty of creative people are eccentric. Maybe she's one of them, Ruth said. They are building that new gazebo. Maybe they're getting the house redone or something, and the work just hasn't started yet.
We need to find out more about these trusts and their finances. Ruth tapped her iPad, and the screen lit up.
And who he would be having an affair with, Ida said. Because if money isn't the motive, then it's got to be love.
Unless Olive was going to divorce him, Lexi suggested. Ida snapped her fingers.
That's right. Maybe Olive was having the affair.
Wouldn't blame her, Ruth said. He seemed grouchy.
Yeah, and he doesn't have much going for him in the looks department either,
Helen added. The whiteboard marker squeaked as Nans jotted down their ideas and Ruth's fingers flew over the surface of the iPad. Nan stood back and crossed her arms, tapping the capped end of the marker on her lips.
But where did he hide the body? Nans asked.
And where is the drone?
Ida added.
What about the pond? Helen said.
The pond was rather murky. There could be a body right under the surface, and no one would notice it, Ruth said.
Or a drone, Ida added.
It would be easy to drag the body from that cement patio down to the pond, Nans added.
I noticed the cuffs of his pants had mud on them, Lexi said.
We need to get in that yard and check out that pond.
Ida slid her eyes over to Lexi.
And what better way than through the neighbor's yard?
The Kingsleys?
I don't think...
Lexi had a consultation with Caspian Kingsley later that afternoon, but she didn't want the ladies tagging along. That wouldn't be good for business. Somehow, when Nans and the ladies were around, something always went wrong.
Wait a minute.
Ruth spoke up before Ida could make the request. Ruth tapped her fingernail on the surface of the iPad.
Olive Pendleton's books are on Amazon. Amazon is the biggest bookseller in the business, you know.
It stands to reason her books would be on there then, right?
Nans asked.
Sure, but here's the thing.
Look at her rankings. Ruth turned the iPad around so they could see the screen. She's ranked way down, around 500,000. Her books aren't selling well at all. They all craned their necks to look.
Huh. Maybe that explains why their house is in disrepair, Nan said.
But it wouldn't explain why Rupert would hide her body and pretend she was alive,
Ida added.
Wait a minute.
Helen paused with a scone midway to her mouth.
I seem to recall hearing she had a new book coming out. That would spur interest in her other works, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. A new release always brings in new interest, Ruth said.
Now, let me Google. Oh, yes. Here it is. She does have a new book.
Ruth looked at them over the rims of her bright red reading glasses.
And it's coming out next week.
Nans clapped her hands.
Well, that explains it. If the book is coming out next week, then she's already written it. It's probably in the publishing process right now. Rupert is probably just pretending she's alive so that the checks will keep rolling in and not be channeled elsewhere due to the terms of her trust.
Maybe he's even going to manufacture some kind of mystery around it, you know, like what happened when Agatha Christie disappeared.
Ida's blue eyes sparkled.
That would increase sales, wouldn't it?
He could milk this for months, and I bet he'd make more money than ever on those books, Ruth said. And with no body and no murder investigation, the police won't be poking around, and he could still continue his affair while collecting all the royalties, Ida said.
Well, we don't know for sure that he's having an affair, Nance pointed out. This could all just be about the money.
Right, Helen said. We need to check into that.
How do we do that? Lexi asked.
Easy. Every neighborhood has a busybody, right?
Helen looked at Ida.
I bet you were the busybody in your neighborhood, Ida. Tell us how we would figure out who the busybody is in the Pendletons' neighborhood.
Ida straightened in her seat and shot Helen a nasty look. Nance and Ruth tried not to laugh.
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but I think that if you want to find the neighborhood busybody, you have to go check out the neighborhood. They're usually looking out the windows to see what is going on. So all we have to do is go back there and see who's watching.
Ida picked up another scone and chomped down on it so hard that Lexi was afraid her dentures would fall out. Nance clicked the cap on the whiteboard marker.
Luckily, we have a perfect excuse to go back to the neighborhood.
Nance turned her gaze on Lexi, and Lexi's stomach dropped.
Lexi, you're meeting with Caspian Kingsley this afternoon to finalize details on your catering job, aren't you?
Yes, but I usually go alone, and I don't really think I need...
Excellent. Nance cut her off. What time are you going to pick us up?